What's up, Performance Marketer Nation? Welcome back to the show. I've got a treat for you today. I have two gentlemen I'm lucky enough to call my friends, Chris Baden and Sean Malone, who are going to come on and teach us all how to sell high ticket. Now, these guys have been doing it for years. They've been helping other people do it, and they dropped so much gold on this episode that you're going to want to get your pen and paper out to take all the notes you can. And you're lucky enough to know that they are running a virtual summit at the beginning of June that you can all attend. So stick around for the episode. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, performancemarketerpodcast.com. Or you could do it on iTunes, Spotify, and other places like SoundCloud, etc. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel. We put all of our episodes with video on the YouTube channel. You could check that out. You can get on the VIP waitlist of Survey Detective. That is the new platform that we are launching in the third quarter that is going to blow away everyone, where we're going to be able to help you generate leads in a way that you've never done it before, helping you convert visitors into leads, leads into customers at a fraction of the price of what you're doing today. You're going to thank me. So if you want to get on that wait list for us to let you know when it's available, it is surveydetective.io. And as always, you can come and join our free Facebook group at Performance Marketer Nation, where we're sharing knowledge and the community is talking to one another to help everyone out to get to the next level. So come on and hang out with me. Let's go listen to the American Ninja and the Long Distance Golfer tell us how to sell high ticket sales. I spent the last 17 years building my eight-figure performance business without using any of my own money, working with some of the most brilliant direct response marketers in the world today. Now I'm looking for entrepreneurs to join my affiliate army, built on ethics, transparency, and good old hard work. Join me to change the perception of how people view the greatest business in the world, affiliate marketing, and follow along as I learn, apply, and share performance marketing strategies working with some of the brightest people on the planet. My name is Eric Beer, and welcome to the Performance Marketer Podcast. All right, cool. So let's talk about personal first. I know you're a baseball player and we got an American Ninja on board here. So tell us something really cool about both of those things and something that no one knows about you that's fun and loving and childhood, funny, how you propose. Give me something that is just interesting about you. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is green. What's yours?
Green. Mine is blue.
Okay.
How about you, Chris?
I feel like I need to select red to complete the primary color cycle. I like red.
Hey, no pressure.
I like it. Yeah, no, I came through. It worked out.
Yeah, I'll share. I'll start. So out of college, I played a very high level of baseball, D1. I had a full ride. I got drafted by several different companies coming out of the university, and I turned them all down simply because I'm a business geek. I love this thing called sales. I love this thing called entrepreneurship. And so I came out of college hot off the, you know, competitive streak of playing baseball, and I didn't want to stop competing. And so I started business for a while. I started, you know, like I sucked at first as a professional salesperson, and I was just banging phone calls all day long, and I wasn't getting any results. And so then my boss came to me one Friday and he's like, Sean, you better go pick this up because otherwise you're not going to be working here very much longer. And I was like, okay, great. So fast forward, I studied books, I started going through seminars, I went through this whole professional selling thing, but I felt like I had lost something in my life, and it was that competitive piece. So here's something that nobody knows about me. After I had had some success, I ended up purchasing half of an electronics manufacturing company in Las Vegas. That's how I moved to Las Vegas before I got in business with Chris. I went down to Arizona to see some of my friends, and I ran into one of my buddies who I'd played high school golf with. Totally different sport than baseball, but he was actually on a world long drive golf team. And I had played a lot of golf growing up, And he said to me, "Hey man, do you still hit the ball really long?" And I said, "Yes." And so we went to the range and I ended up out hitting him in front of his coach. And he was like, "Dude, I've been on this team for 3 years and you're hitting it further than me." I was like, "Okay, that's crazy. I didn't even know what I'm doing." And so his coach was like, "Take these two clubs, go home, back to Vegas, practice for 3 weeks, come back and compete in this tournament in a long drive professional tournament." And I was like, "Okay." So I went home and I studied all these YouTube videos. I called up my old golf coach, was getting all his input. And then all of a sudden, I practiced my tail off and I went back and I ended up winning the whole thing. And so it was insane, right? So, and I was hitting balls like, you know, 360, 380, 390, wow. four bills and beyond. And so then he said, "Listen, like, if you can repeat this performance at another event," the coach, right? He said, "If you can repeat this, I want you on my team." So I went back 2 weeks later to a different tournament. I won that one as well. And he said, "Look, you're on my team." And so from then on, I picked up a sponsorship from Performance. You talk about performance, right? It's that whole competitive piece that you're the expert in lead driving, right? Obviously, Eric, like God of the space. But in that competitive environment, it's like that is a place where you just get results. If you don't get results, you don't win. And so that was so one of the things. So it ended up spiraling me into a five-year professional long drive career where I got to number 8 in the world, made a bunch of cash. I was doing some cool things. And then I came back and the long driver's lifespan is 5 years. I decided that's all my other buddies going and getting back surgery. And I was like, I don't want that. So I ended up walking away, hanging up the cleats. But that's something that nobody knows about me. I did have a world ranking in long drive golf and I was on the leaderboard. I went all around the world hitting long drive golf clubs. And it's simply you get 6 balls, 2 minutes and 45 seconds to hit one as long as possible within a 50-yard wide grid. That's the key. There you go.
That's awesome. That's cool. Thanks for sharing. We'll have to get out one day. I want to see from my own eyes. That's awesome, man. All right. Well, Chris, you're up. Give us something.
Yeah. One that you alluded to earlier seems to be one that catches attention. People find interesting, which is competing on American Ninja Warrior. So for myself, I did martial arts growing up. I played all different types of sports growing up and then competed in golf in high school and as a D1, got a D1 scholarship in golf in college. So competition, performance is like, that's where it's at. And that's where it's always been for me my entire life. And when I graduated college, I was like, well, now what? So one day I get a call from my friend and he's like, "Oh, there's this TV show, Ninja something, whatever. And I was like, that's cool. He's like, well, we're competing in it. I was like, what do you mean? It was like, we're competing. I was like, of course we are. Okay, let's do this. So I made an audition tape, submitted to American Ninja Warrior, thinking like, whatever. And they said yes. So now we ended up having to go to like the qualifier or whatever. And I didn't fully know what this was. This is season 3. They're on like season 11 now. And this is where like people that like have full-time jobs and family, we're all just showing up, having fun, playing obstacles and like G4 is filming. Later it was picked up by NBC and stuff. Right. And then, so we compete. This goes on for 7 years. So I actually did 3 seasons. My buddy did 7 years and it was totally fun. And every year people just seem to get taller and stronger and more. I'm still hustling, building businesses. These guys are like building gyms in their backyard. And I was like, that's cool. But so it was really a fun thing that I got to do, compete on the show. Something that's notable worth sharing is it's cool competing on the show, but the sweet spot is testing. Because like when you compete on the show, call times, I like worked during the day and I was ninja by night. So I'd go there at 8 o'clock at night. I didn't run till 6 a.m. I was up like all night waiting. That's not the fun part, but testing, it's like a 2-3 hour window. You get to go play on the obstacles. You just do it over and over again. And even worked in some of their warehouses to develop like what obstacle is going to be used. And then you know, set it up on like on set and then you see what really happens. And there's a couple like, I don't know, a couple of things. What you see on the show is different than being there and sometimes. So it was a great experience. It was a ton of fun.
Oh, that's really cool. So we got 2 athletes here. That's exciting. So let's transition into how you two got together. How did you guys partner?
Yeah, it's so funny. So I was out hustling at the time and I was selling sales training, actually. I used to, so my journey as I began as a professional salesperson, I started reading books. I went to seminars. I ended up having lunch with Tom Hopkins, who's trained over 5 million sales pros and became a mentor of mine and started learning his system. And then you know, I had some big success and I wanted my own company. So I ended up purchasing an electronics manufacturing company. I moved to Las Vegas. And at that time, the sales tools and techniques and tricks and strategies and practical stuff that I was using did not apply in my world. And so at that point, my business partner said, how are we going to continue to grow this organization? And I said, well, I need to go build some sort of a system that can be duplicated or replicated by many other people. And so that's when I dove into sales systems and I started getting really, really knowledgeable about those things. And anyways, my business partner and I ended up selling our manufacturing facility. We grew it with the system that we put in place. We grew it from about $400K in revenue to $8 million in about 4 years. So kind of a long time frame, but it was the old school method. It wasn't inbound marketing. It was all outbound, right? So I ended up having rep groups and all such stuff. So at that point, we sold that business. And then I was like, what am I going to do? And my sales coach at the time said, hey, why don't you come sell sales training? I said, great. And I happened to be involved in the networking group, which I ended up going into. And my first meeting I walk into and I see Chris, I didn't know him at the time, the president. Okay, so he's younger than me by about 8 years. And he literally is the president of all the most professional people in Las Vegas at the time. I'm talking about doctors, lawyers, eye surgeons, networking people. Like, you could name it. They were all in there in their suits and their ties. And here's this little scrawny guy. He's not that scrawny, but this little guy in the middle of the room ripping a guitar, playing a song. And I'm like, this dude is amazing.
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short, we started talking about sales and I helped him a bit on selling more of the stuff that he was working on.
He sold me sales training.
I sold him sales training.
That's how it started.
Yeah. And so we started our relationship there. And then there was just this weird gut feeling. It was like, man, this guy is so amazing, so great. And he's like a moral pillar of like ethics and goodness and morality in my life. And I need that. Someday I'm going to be in partners with him. I don't know what that looks like. Yeah, Chris, I don't know from your side. That's kind of how we met. Yeah.
Yeah, it was BNI, if you guys have ever heard of that local Business Networking International. It's like a franchise networking group. And so we met there originally. And at the time, I was in the payment technology industry, so credit card processing primarily. So I'm knocking on doors, going door to door, B2B sales. Man, like just cold, the old, like what I would call like the old school or the slow way, at least. I know people are still doing it, but it's really slow and painful. That's what I did for 3 years, built a portfolio of over 200 businesses in just under 3 years, and still have some equity in that portfolio today. So it was great learning because I talked to business owners and I got to see their numbers because it's credit card processing. So I'd always have their statements and I was studying what business I wanted to start. For some reason, after 3 years, I didn't learn my lesson because the next one I started was an insurance agency. No offense to any insurance agents watching this, but that was not the right path for me. So I did that for a year, had a small team of five, obviously B2B with credit card processing, signed up hospitals. I got to sit in front of two different billion-dollar companies and pitch C-suites. I like dealerships. There's all over the map, all different types of industries. And I land in insurance. So I do that for a year. And I was like, I can't scale this model nearly fast enough to what I need to accomplish for my goals. So I'm like, all right, I've got my first child on the way. I start going online and wasn't really active online. So come up with a couple of different ideas. And I get a call from Sean. I haven't talked to Sean in forever. He's like, hey, Chris. Hey, Sean. Hey, Chris, do you like the internet? Sean.
That was literally the question. Like? I asked him that question. That was it. I was like, yo, Chris, do you like the internet?
I was like, Sean, what does that mean? I don't know. Like, it's helpful. I don't know. So we talked more and basically it landed on Facebook ads. I was like, Facebook, I'm spending like $15 a lead for all my sales reps and my insurance agency. And I see like $1, $2, $3 a lead on Facebook. I was like, this is insane. Like, we just need to find anything that is valuable to sell. And like, this is cheap attention. So, literally this is 2016. In 2012, I looked back. That was the last time I actually posted on Facebook. I didn't even know Facebook did ads. This whole internet world. Oh gosh. The last 4 years has been like a massive tornado in my life, but in a painful and exciting, great way. But that's how we met. And so I started learning marketing, how I did life, how I did business without marketing, like is beyond me. So that's what we've been a heavy focus in that world. I'm learning copy. I'm learning paid advertising. I'm learning all these things I've never even touched before. I'm starting to make more in a month than sometimes I'd even get close to making in a year. It's the scalability totally caught my attention. The tracking, like it was an ATM. Like I know for every dollar, once you get the system set up, I know for every dollar I'm spending, I'm buying cash basically. I'm getting $3, $4, $5 back for every dollar I'm spending. And so the tracking, the performance metrics were so much more interesting and fun.
Yeah, I got to get a button. I need to get one of those things for with
yeah, I saw you doing some kind of motion here.
Like cash flow. Cash flow is king. I need to like have ding, like a noise that like ding. You just said, like a ding, like get something. That's awesome.
We do need a soundboard. You got buttons and cameras all over the place. I know. Why don't we just throw in some sound effects?
I'm working on it. I'm going to call Kramer. I'm working on it. Kramer, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So to kind of continue that story, because I think it's interesting. So like Melissa and I, my wife, we decided we wanted to build an online lifestyle simply so we could have the space, but we knew we couldn't do it alone. And there's no better partner than Chris Baden. I mean, I've had several that have gone south, but literally like finding a strong and good partner is very rare and difficult because there's always personalities. Eric, you've been through a bunch of those. I know, I've heard your story. You have a phenomenal way of always recovering. And one thing that I totally admire about you, by the way, is you always stand up one more time than you get knocked down. And that to me is just like the true definition of a warrior. And so I'm grateful for you to be an inspiration in my life for that. So thank you for that.
Awesome.
One of the things that I think is interesting is as Chris and I started to climb into this marketing world, we started talking about how do we grow or how do we learn, how do we master or become competent in this place called marketing. Now you've already been there for years and you've already mastered. Okay. So Chris and I stumbled upon this document, which we're going to share today, but literally it's the four levels of competence. And so I'll just share really quick how it works, what it kind of means, and then we'll kind of dive into some
stories. Can we share screen on this? Does that work, or is this just all audio?
Go for it.
Chris, I'll kind of keep talking.
This will be on YouTube. This will be on our YouTube channel.
Awesome.
And on the podcast, for sure. Yeah.
You definitely want to see this. Obviously, the download link will be available for you guys. But this is something that literally transformed everything in our world when we were coming into the marketing game. Now, there's four levels of competency, starting with unconscious incompetence, moving to conscious incompetence, conscious competence, and finally a level of unconscious competence. Now, Eric, for the media buyers and the affiliate marketers that you guide into big game and becoming true, true masters at the craft, I would say you've already achieved, and I know this for a fact, you've already achieved the highest level of learning in the marketing space, in the lead driving space. And so for those reasons, people go listen to Eric. He knows what he's talking about. He knows numbers and he's doing great things. And so you should follow him until the day that this guy, leaves this earth. He's going to leave a lot of value in your life. But as we started entering this marketing space, we were kind of like a baby. We needed to learn something new. And let's give the shoe tying example, and then Chris could make it a little more relevant. The first level of competency is unconscious incompetence. So if you're a baby, let's talk about tying shoes for a second. If you're a baby, you don't know what a shoe is, let alone that you need to tie it. So you're completely unconscious to the fact that you don't even know what shoes are for. And you're incompetent because you don't know that you need to tie the shoes because you won't trip on them when you can walk. So fast forward a little bit more to the second level now is going to be this conscious incompetence, meaning you're aware that you have shoes. So the baby grows up now to a little boy, but he doesn't understand how to tie his shoes yet. He still needs his mom to come in and actually tie the shoes, but he's aware of the fact like, hey, I know that my shoes need to be tied. So this is going to be the second level of this competence where it's like, you need something to be happening, but you don't know how to do it and you don't know how to achieve it. And then you move into the third stage as you get a little bit older. Now you're probably like 5, maybe 6. And you realize that, yes, you're consciously competent. You can tie your shoes. You know how to do that. And you're aware that you need to have your shoes tied so that you don't trip and fall down. However, if mom's ringing the dinner bell and the dog's running in from the room and you're trying to focus, you can only focus on one thing, that's tying your shoe, because you're consciously so focused on this, you can't have any other distractions. And as you do that over and over and over, eventually you move into the next level of unconscious competency, when things like, I listen to Eric all the time, and when things come out of his mouth, I'm like, did you even know what you just said, dude? Because it was like truly amazing. And I wrote down 7 pages of notes from what he tells me. And he's like, oh, just, whatever, man. Like, that was just something I learned way back and whenever. So it's just, that's the unconscious competence level where you can spew out things like marketing content or what you teach is lead mastery and like really how to just gas on performance marketing, right? I think that's just super powerful. And you've definitely exhibited, of course, your career, Eric, has been just phenomenal to watch from the outside because you went through all of those. Right? Would you agree you went through all of those stages? Absolutely.
Yeah, I still go through it depending on what I'm tackling. That's it's interesting because I was just talking to another friend of mine and they used the word genius paradox. But ultimately, it's somebody that does something, let's call it unconscious competence, where they think it's so easy that everybody else also can do it when they don't even realize that it's just a special talent that they have. And it's interesting for all the people in the world today that are teaching their skill sets because it comes easy to them. They don't think they have any value. And it's actually the opposite of that. And it's, you have to get over your own little bump in the road of that you truly do have this. So when you're coming into this this unconscious competence, it's, people don't even realize how good they really are, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's one important thing of getting to that level. Like, why get to that level? Speed. It's speed. Because when you need to execute the skill, I mean, we're in the middle of doing a launch right now. And the pressure kicks up, and the ability to execute and implement quickly and effectively, which is the skill. I think of like a really good chef, right? Like, we all could probably figure out how to make a waffle, pancake, or, you know, we all have maybe our dish or whatever. But to make it excellent and to do it really quickly, have everything cleaned up and like just totally own your space, that's unconscious competent. You can do it not only well, but with speed. And if you can move quicker and do it better than everyone else in terms of performance, in terms of competition, I mean, that's how you're going to win. So this is like just a really good filter to be like, where do I fit with this skill? And just focus on going to the next step and then the next step. And then you'll obviously get to the top.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Chris, because I like to add the fact that where we were when we started marketing, and literally this was the level up piece, is the piece that I want to focus on for a second, because a lot of people will get this tool in their hands and they'll be like, well, how do I level up? What does it mean to actually level up to the next level? And the best example I can share was my selling career. I wanted to become unconsciously competent as one of the world's best sales professionals. We call those people sales ascenders because they can just ascend anything, anywhere, at any time, any product, any service. I wanted to be at that unconscious competence level with that skill set. So I chose sales as the skill set. So if you're using this tool, choose a skill, and then now you need to start setting criteria for each of those 4 levels of competency. So what does it mean to you to level up from unconscious incompetence? So you don't know what you don't know. Now you're consciously incompetent, knowing that, okay, I'm aware I got to go become a performance marketer. I got to learn to get more leads, but I don't know where to go and how to do that. Now you've fallen into Eric's lap. Good for you. Follow this guy. And then eventually what's going to happen is now I'm going from this level of conscious incompetence in sales to, what do I need to do? Well, I know that if I read 10 books, I will have gone from this conscious incompetence level for reading 10 books to now I have some skills that I can use. This is going to level me into the next bucket. So setting yourself a little criteria of how you moved up. So this is what I did in sales. I went from the conscious incompetence. I read about 10 sales books. I attended 2 different networking events. I learned some selling stuff. I moved up to now I'm consciously competent. I can close deals with the skills that I've learned. That put me into the next level. But what's the criteria to get to the final level, right? And for me, in sales professional world, I knew that I needed to be able to close a $1 million deal. That was one of the criteria that I put on myself. I knew that I needed to build a team of sales professionals that I could actually like coach and manage and mentor, because I love leadership and I want to continue doing that in my life. And then eventually to get to the highest point on the unconscious competence scale, to be able to help others guide their businesses into massive, massive 8-figure results. And so when I achieved all of those things, and I did, that was the benchmarks I set of how I moved up this scale in selling for myself, I did it. I did all of them. I closed a $1.2 million deal with an electronics company. I helped them it was insane. Like, I love that. It was a big, awesome, long deal. Closed some other government contracts, like some big ones, like 5 years, 60 million kind of thing. And then I did that. It was great. And we got online and we learned this skill of marketing and inbound and generation of leads. And I'm like, oh, Eric, thank goodness that you're here, because I'm unconsciously incompetent, but now I'm conscious about this and you know the secrets, right? Yeah. So then it was, we just poured that little mechanism into our whole machine. And next thing you know, we're right at the top of that pyramid with professional sales and teaching others to become sales ascenders. And that's really the journey that I took. And that's how, if you're listening to this is how you can use this tool in your life to really master any skill that's out there in the world.
That's really amazing. So I know you guys sold your business recently, and I've seen you after you sold it. We were at our inner circle meeting. You guys danced in robes together on stage. That you guys tell that story if you want to at some point. It was great. But the point is, like, you guys had a major shift in your lives and you had to start over, like every entrepreneur. And it's hard, you know, and you start to soul search and you start to figure out, man, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? You forget how hard you worked to get a business off the ground, that when you go back to starting again, like, it's like from square one. Not that it's just going to be impossible, but it's not as easy as you remember it, because you've glided once you've scaled your business, right? So now when you take that step back, talk to us about how you guys went about doing that, the plan. Did you use your four stages? Where are you at right now with building your list, your leads, and taking it to the next level to where you are today?
Well, there was one big problem in starting over, is we had no list again. So we had to answer a couple of questions that I'm sure a lot of your listeners are facing or have faced before, and we all wrestle with, right? I mean, the answer is always more sales, but how do you get that? And it starts with a list. You have to have a list. That's your asset in building a business. And so we were faced with, how do we build a list as fast as possible, but without burning thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in ad spend or all the other, maybe we'll call them like more manufactured ways. How do we build a quality list really, really quickly? And that's what we thought about it. We were like, we could do paid ads, but where we landed, and this brings in the four stages of learning, and John can chime in here in just a bit, is, We were like, oh, we're going to use this virtual summit strategy in order to build our list. And there's we need to hang out here for a second, because there's multiple, everyone's kind of seen them, but I think a lot of entrepreneurs, at least the ones that even in our circle, to do them well, to do them right, and there's multiple moving parts to it. You have speakers, you have affiliates, you have attendees, you have sponsorship. There's other elements, and if you don't tap into all of those, you're going to miss it, and you're going to waste a lot of time, you're going to waste a lot of money. And we've been learning some of these lessons. You know why? Because to start, we were unconscious. Those words are like so hard to say, like when you mix them together, the bottom one on the pyramid. We're like, I had not been to a virtual summit before. I've like heard of some of them, but I had never been to one, right? So we started from the bottom and slowly started working up. But John, if you could share just with everyone in our path of beginning to start with a virtual summit, the first thing we did is reach out to smart people, like listening to Eric, like keep listening to this guy. Don't do it alone. It's going to cost you so much time and money. We did that same principle with Brad. If you could maybe share how we met Brad.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all comes down to your network increases your net worth. And I think that's another thing that you should write down if you're listening to this. Like, if you're not increasing your network, you're not going to increase your net worth. So just remember that, because I think that's a really valid point. And how we did it was, we needed to learn more about virtual summits. And it just so happened that as we're at FHL, which is a live event that happened earlier this year, one of our buddies who runs a podcasting agency introduced us to a fellow named Brad. And Brad happened to be one of the category kings of virtual summits. And at that point, we were like, huh, this is a really interesting model. And like anything else, what is our skill set? Chris and I, when we started our sales consulting business, we sat down there because our coach, Russell Brunson, and Eric's coach, you know, he told us, you got to go kill your baby. This is when we killed the software company. And he said, we asked him, like, Russell, how do we do this? And he didn't have really a strong, solid directions on how to kill the baby. But what he did share was profound. He said to us, he said, Sean, he said, sit down, figure out what you're really good at, and then focus on the people that need that service and go ask if they actually need that service. And so we spoke with him. We spoke with one of our other mentors.
So simple, right? I mean, when you think about it, it's, what are you good at? Go find people that need your help. Uh-oh, why couldn't I think of that?
Oh, man, genius.
Yeah, that's a genius cha-ching button. Yeah, where's the button?
But it's,
right?
But it's great when you hear from someone else. It's so true, though.
Yeah, and so literally, like, Chris and I sat there and we said, listen, we have almost more than two decades of professional sales background. Like, we should definitely be able to help other entrepreneurs, business owners, marketers, sales professionals to grow whatever business, if they're a solopreneur or even if they have a big team, because we've done all of those things and we're masters at that. So what did we do? We started talking to all these people that were in our target market, and we found that there was a need that they had. And then we said, look, we'll come do this for a certain amount of cash. And that's really how we springboarded into this thing. But when we got to the place where we're like, okay, we have a few clients, but we're not scaling. We're at that point, we're stuck. We have a little business that's doing pretty good for us, you know, multiple six figures. But at the same time, we want seven figures. We want eight figures. We want Eric Beer's nine figures kinds of numbers, right? Like, that, how do we do that? And so that was where we started looking into a marketing strategy of like, what could we do? And we decided that when we were at FHL, we met Brad, and Brad was he is one of the category kings of virtual summits. And we said, how can we serve Brad? Because we want to work with him at some point. So Chris and I looked at our superpower and said, why don't we just go find him a bunch of business? And within 2 weeks, we were able to bring Brad almost $100,000 in new opportunity. And from there, Brad said to us, he goes, guys, I love you so much because you've brought all this business over. So it's like, dig your well before you're thirsty kind of thing, like Harvey McKay says, right? And so we dug the well. And then Brad says, hey, I don't know how to repay you. I can throw you cash on the back end if you want, or, you know, maybe we could throw a virtual summit on the table. And right then, and Chris and I looked at each other, and Melissa, our partner, we were like, yeah, how do we move forward? Like, let's do that. And so that was really the journey of where we went from this whole, and this is kind of how you jump the levels on that triangle that we're talking about, is because we don't know how to do virtual summits, but Brad's the category king. How can we serve him and then partner with him on some form or fashion to where we can actually do it faster? And it all comes down to velocity and speed, right? And so Brad is doing all the tech work. He wired up the whole thing for us. And we went out and we found all the best because we'd been digging our well with our network. Again, you increase your net worth when you increase your network. And we spoke to all these people, and next thing you know, Russell Brunson is headlining our virtual summit. Insane. Super excited about that. Yeah.
Well, let's back up for a second, because there's some people that don't even know what a virtual summit is. So the genius around is that you don't need ad dollars to build your list. So the overall concept and let me try to explain it, and then you guys tell me if I know what I'm talking about. But ultimately, you put on a summit. It's virtual. You find a number of experts. The idea is you strategically find experts that have your audience. So similar to like a Dream 100, you're looking to build up a list. So everybody's going to then speak on this virtual summit. They're going to share to get to their list, to get people to subscribe, and everybody shares in that list. So you're putting on an event to just give away free knowledge that's going to kill it. Clearly, you have a ton of amazing, amazing people showing up. So that's awesome. And as they register, you guys are building your list and you're earning the amount of people that sign up that's now going to be part of your subscriber list that then you can now market to. You have permission to market to those people. Is that accurate?
100%. The best part about virtual summits is that if imagine running a live event, there's so many moving parts on the days that it's actually happening. Where you do virtual events, you can actually record it previously to the summit so that you can actually have the live event, but then still have the mind time and the capacity to help with guiding all of your prospects or the people that are watching your summit to make sure that they have the service and the support that they need in order to achieve the things that they're trying to get out of the summit. And so literally, that's it. I mean, you nailed it. And so what we focused our summit on, it's called the High Ticket Seller Summit. And literally, we have had the best of the best in the high ticket space, meaning anything online that's $3K up to $1 million worth in a sales deal. That kind of bucket of people are the people who are speaking at our event. And it covers everything. It covers social media channels. It covers SEO strategies, email deliverability, a lot of the stuff that everybody needs as we're climbing into this online world, especially with the pandemic and everything that's going on right now. Like, internet's just becoming more and more prevalent every single day. Chris?
Yeah, all those things are true. And there's still one really fun component that is not included in this mix. And it's, the reason I say fun is because it's another thing that I've actually haven't done yet, and that's sponsorship. And so when we say without, you know, burning thousands of dollars in ad spend or coming out of pocket even, you know, it's either time or money, right? You can assemble a team, use your time, labor, build this thing, or you're going to have to cut a check to have this all built. But if we look at the bigger picture, we're strategically picking out the speakers need to be your dream 100, your ideal people, like just like you said, Eric was perfect. And their audiences are all ideal customers for yourself. But that audience is also interesting to other companies. And that's where the sponsorships come in. So you go to the companies and you say, hey, look at all these ideal buyers of yours. You know, let us promote you, get some more exposures on emails, on our sites. You could offer to do, there's multiple other strategies you can offer. But now, you know, they're cutting you a check and that's covering your upfront costs to put on the summit, to pay for ads, to build the list. So, I mean, literally without coming out of pocket, you can build a list fast and not burn thousands of dollars, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars in ad spend.
That's amazing. Who's going out to find the sponsors?
Us.
Yours truly.
Using your sales strategies to go out and and get people on board to buy.
Sponsorship. I was in the American Marketing Association back in college, and I was the vice president of sponsorship, luckily enough. So I did have some reps of cutting my teeth and getting my chops ripped out for actually doing sponsorships. And I worked with little car dealerships and little mom and pop like salons, and I learned kind of that piece of it. And now coming full circle to go do it again, there's so much software out there that can just help. And like, I know you're creating some just incredible things with your lead gen stuff, Eric, and that software, if you are at this place where you're trying to generate leads again, I cannot stress to you enough, go listen to Eric because he's the man. and so literally, Chris and I, because we discussed strategies and we chose two different lists and we started a outreach strategy, and we've had some amazing conversations. We've had to the point where now like companies like ClickFunnels are like, yes, we want to partner with you guys in some form or fashion. And we're doing, we're partners with them right now. We have another scraping software.
Got a company.
Yeah, there you go. The scraping company that actually will find outbound work for us. That's interesting. And so that might be another potential opportunity. We always wear blue blockers. There's another one because, again, what I'm sharing is just opportunities of companies that complement who you serve because they probably serve the same market. A lot of people get into the scarcity mindset, but when it's a compliment, the scarcity goes out the window simply because they complement, not, you know, they don't compete with what you're trying to accomplish. And then therefore now everybody wins at the same time. I think that's a great concept.
If this isn't clear in every marketer or business owner, entrepreneur's mind yet, it needs to be. Your customer is not your customer. Your customer is everybody's customer. We all share customers. Think about like marketing books. Do you only own one marketing book? But you've bought like all of the marketing books or a lot of them in the same topic. That's just in the same industry. But that alone, you know, you buy multiple products is the point. And probably everyone here listening is on the right track, the smart track. You guys probably already knew that. But just in case it wasn't clear, this will free you. It'll allow you to, like Sean's saying, be more collaborative and you know, continue to serve your audience and your customers at a higher level.
Yeah. So I'm impressed, guys. For real.
Hey, Eric.
Because a lot of people complain about this stuff where they don't have money, they can't build a list. Bottom line is you're resourceful. You guys are hustling and finding ways to, this is your seed of your business. I don't know, what are you going to walk out with? 10, 20, 50,000 potential leads. And when it's all said and done that you can now market to that are highly relevant people that now you just have to nurture them, indoctrinate them, become relatable to them, understand what their needs are, and then give them your solution, right? So
That's, and it always goes, I just want to add, it always goes full circle. You know, we know that you're one of the category kings of lead gen, right? And so guess what? All of our clients are going to need lead gen. We're not the category kings of that. We're the category kings of high ticket sales. Like, we don't know much about, I mean, we know a little bit. We know enough to be dangerous in the lead gen space, but we're no Eric Beer. That's for dang sure. Yeah. So
well, it's funny because I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. I was helping somebody with building out their survey, and they sell high ticket, but the whole strategy that we used around this process was you don't sell a cold lead, a $5,000 program on day one. So the whole idea around what we did was we created this survey that segmented the data into four different groups that we were then able to provide to them something relatable that all funneled back into the same core offer, which was to get them to register for the webinar that then indoctrinates them to sell the high ticket. And it's interesting because I don't currently sell high ticket. I haven't done it. Maybe I never do it. I don't know. Although it's nice to get those big checks. All right. But like, you know, I've heard stories from you guys when you've gone into people's sales rooms and you've upticked their sales on high ticket. I remember at our last meeting, you guys showed an example of a client of yours where you like doubled the output for what they were doing in a very short period of time. Right. So it's like a high ticket or a low ticket, at the end of the day, it sells. And, you know, you just have to, how much time do you spend if it's a more expensive offer, right? And you guys are the experts in this more than me, and understanding this process. But, you know, getting somebody to the point where they really need you to that, they're saying to you, all right, guys, what do I do next? And then you just feed them this big ticket. I mean, it's really impressive what you guys have done. Yeah, and the way you've applied it to so many different businesses is really just, it's universal.
I think what you outlined is really important to highlight and hang out on. It's the process of selling high tickets. So check this out. It's the height, and this, I'm kind of giving ourselves away a little bit here, okay? So insider scoop with Eric Beer.
Oh my God.
Secrets in the dark room.
Let's take out some cereal or something.
That's good. That's good. You know, speaking of secrets, I'm just trying to figure out what stick figures you're drawing on your table over there. While
if you only knew. You guys are giving me so much gold. I mean, I take notes. I'm learning from you guys. This is great.
That's awesome. No, yeah. In my mind, I'm like, I know he's probably taking notes, but I was like, it'd be hilarious if he's just drawing stick figures over there. Whatever. So yeah, the process that you outlined though is the customer journey. And notice, this is the secret: high ticket seller summit, high ticket seller summit. It's everything high ticket, but guess what we're going to sell at the end? Not high ticket. Why? Because they're not warm yet. And so one of the secrets to high ticket is knowing when you've earned the right to ask, knowing how to build the relationship. This isn't like, there's not some magic trick or tactic or, you know, persuasion strategy. It's not cheap like that. The best way to do it is do the real thing. Don't take any shortcuts. Understand the problem that you're solving. Understand who that's valuable to. Understand how to reach out to them. Let them know, hey, I exist. Know, like, and trust, right? So they know you. Now we got to build some likability. Hey, let's do an event. Come hang out a little bit. Let us serve you. Let's see if this is a good fit, right? And then after that takes place, there's going to be a smaller percentage that begin to trust you. And like, most people get this so screwed up in their approach. You don't want everybody, right? So part of the and I say slow. I mean, you can still do this in a 30, 90 day sprint. It depends on your goals and what numbers you want to do, right? But at the same time, you don't want to work with everyone. So you don't want to just try to, you know, go for the close right away. No. Have an application process. So you can see, oh, this part of the reason we had 100% success rate with our high ticket clients is because we had that process up front where we saw, nope, they are primed for this. This is the one or two strategies we need to implement. Here's roughly the return that we're going to get for them so that we can create a good experience for both people. That, what you just said, Eric, is a process. Like, you don't just jump right out of the gate and do it. So I think that's really important for people to understand. This isn't, you know, if you want to play the high ticket game, man, we need some strategy, and it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, I think the best analogy, or actually there's two of them that kind of popped in my mind, so I'll throw both of them at you. But the first one is when you're dating somebody. When you first start dating somebody, you're not going to walk up to them on the first day and ask them to get married, because number one, you'd be freaked out because you don't know what skeletons are in their closet. You got to go figure that out. Number two, they got to figure out the skeletons, if you have any, in your closet. And then number three, you got to make sure that that relationship is going to be a partnership, not just a transaction, right? And so that becomes the key in really development and growth and strategically bonding with a prospect and then eventually a client. So in the dating world, literally, like, you go out on a bunch of dates, you do some fun things, you find out that this chick is boring, you find out this chick's exciting. Next thing you know, like, there's this one girl that you're like, oh, she hits all my check boxes. I know exactly what I want. This is the one. And boom, now you've got married. And that's the same process of high ticket sales, is literally just understanding and going in and asking those things and pulling out skeletons and recreating or reteaching prospects on a different framework of how to look at that particular objection or obstruction that they have in their mind. So there is an element of teaching, but then at the end of the day, it's literally they will grow to like and trust you. Second analogy literally would be when you're playing in a sandbox as a little kid. You jump in a sandbox, and across the sandbox, Chris is over there. And I'm like, hey, Chris, I'm over here in your sandbox. I'm just hanging out. He's like, hey, Sean. The next thing you know, we're building sandcastles. And I'm like, hey, Chris, that's a cool little toy. Do you mind if I borrow it to build this one piece of my... Sure. And I got this, and boom, and I give it back. There's the trust. There's this little lightning bolt that's created trust between Chris and I. He sees that I have this other little tool. He asks me for the same thing. I serve him. Next thing you know, Chris says, hey, can you keep this tool for me at your house? I got to go on this trip. Next thing you know, it just grows and grows and compounds. And it's like a big, like, snowball rolling down a hill. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You're building a relationship. You're building trust. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I love the application. You can use my survey platform when you're ready. Survey detective, baby. Come and get it.
We need to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's tell everybody how they can attend this virtual summit, when it is. Give all the details up.
Yeah, so the summit is launching on June 11th. It's a four-day event, June 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. And tickets are free. So you can go get yourself a free ticket at highticketsellerssummit.com. Again, that's highticketsellerssummit.com. Here's the website. Chris just brought it up. You can see a little intro about us, what we're about, why you should attend the summit, the 30 speakers that are going to be there, all the people that it could be for. By the way, with the free ticket, we're giving away a free high ticket lead gen funnel. And then you can see some of the speakers here. And so again, the tickets are free. Go grab it right away. And I'm sure that we'll be sharing a link over with Eric so he can put it in the chat below. And you can just grab that right at that link. That'll be super exciting. We'd love to have you attend the summit. And definitely, we know that we will add a tremendous amount of value along with all of the speakers into your life, especially as you're trying to become this performance marketer. Right, if you're stepping up from affiliate marketing into performance marketing, or you're a media buyer and you need to pour gas on the fire, like, this is the way to do it. Listen to people like Eric. Listen to the people that are speaking at our summit, simply because those are the people that know the thing. They've done the thing. They've achieved the results that you probably want to get. And go follow those people. Chris, awesome. Did I miss
Chris, you want anything?
Also the four stages of learning, that PDF, we'll give that, to Eric as well. So there'll just be a bunch of resources and links, you know, click all of them, use all of them, you know, available for this talk. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a fun event. it's been fun putting it on. It's one of those like, yeah, it's going to be great. And you're like, whoa, this is involved. so it's been fun learning. It was so cool just to have everyone say yes and jump in. Like, that's one thing I would like to share, you know, talking to me, like the older version of the younger version of Chris, even if it was back like 3, 6 or more months, is putting yourself out there is scary. But if your vision is bigger than yourself, then it's so cool how other people catch it and start, you know, drawing towards you. And so if you've been struggling, if you feel stuck, and it's kind of the same cycles and all that, I would encourage you to go back and assess your vision. Why are you really doing what you're doing? Is it greater than yourself, or is it just for some small need for yourself? And if it's there, that's okay. But just start thinking about why that's important and matters to other people. And when those thoughts and those questions start flowing through, it grows, and then more people get involved, and then there's a lot more momentum, and it becomes a lot more fun too. So that's been a fun experience going through this.
I want to hit on that, because that was awesome what you just said. imperfect action. Just do it. I think there's so many people that get in their own way. I do it myself all the time. And you're never going to be perfect. 3 for 10, you're in the Hall of Fame, right? That means you are out right. 7 out of 10 times. Just do it. Yeah, stop overthinking. Just do it. Even if it's not the best that it's ever going to be, that is what is part of the building process to get you the momentum for it to get better. Otherwise, you're never going to get there. So I think that's a really good point you made. And guys, I really appreciate you guys coming on and dropping all this gold. If you're not signed up for this summit, do it. What is it? High ticket?
HighTicketSellersSummit.com. We'll have a link in the description.
We'll put a link below. Yep. HighTicketSellersSummit.com. Go check it out. These two geniuses plus a bunch of other people are going to be there. I can't imagine. I'll be there for sure. So I'm looking forward to it. And
well, guys, Eric, you're going to be speaking on the next one. So get ready, brother.
Oh, shucks. All right, cool. All right, guys. Well, if that's it, you guys rock. Say hello to Melissa and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, there you have it, performance marketers. That was Chris Baden, AKA the American Ninja, and Sean Malone, the long distance golf driver champion, dropping gold on how to sell high ticket, giving you the 4 stages of learning, letting you know how to build a list when you're starting over without spending a dollar on advertising. And these guys were nice enough to give us a link that you guys can click to attend their high ticket virtual summit. So if that's of interest to you, click below, sign up. And there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to get a tremendous amount of value out of what they're bringing to the table. And the speakers that they've put together here are going to just rock the world. So check it out. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, performancemarketerpodcast.com, or on iTunes or Spotify. Go check us out at our YouTube channel. This episode and all other episodes are always on our YouTube channel. It's the Eric Beer YouTube channel. If you want to get on our VIP wait list, go to surveydetective.io, where you'll have the ability to be in the know on all of the news that's coming out and all of the free value that we're pushing out to show people we really do get it and we know what we're talking about. We're going to earn your trust. We're going to earn it in a way where we serve you and give you knowledge and help you. And in return, you're going to want to hang out with us because you know that we can help you. So go check it out, surveydetective.io. And if you want to join our free Facebook group, go check that out at Performance Marketer Nation. Sign up, answer a few questions, and you will then be part of that community. So until then, be well, stay safe, and peace out. Would you like to learn how I built my business using other people's money? If so, then go join my 21-day challenge at performancemarketersecrets.com. I look forward to meeting you and welcoming you into my family. And remember, results don't lie, but the people who don't have any do. Thanks for listening.